I'm Boogie of the Golden State Warriors. Now back to the drive with Steve Jackson on KSRO.
It is 4:12 on your Thursday drive. It is time for what we're calling the drive's first annual district election candidate forum. We've been doing candidate forums all over the county for 10 years, but this is the first time we have district elections in Santa Rosa. We have three candidates in the studio, and of course our friends and Drive Hall of Famers, Paul Gullickson, and Herman G. Hernandez, who is not a Hall of Famer yet, but he's going to be very soon, I can guarantee it. And Pete Fapiano, my guest host when we're out of town, and Drive local political analyst. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you.
Herman, good to see you again, man. You guys are going to have to share a mic here.
Yeah, we can share.
And everyone else is cool? Yeah, okay. So, Victoria Fleming.
Yes.
Good to see you again.
Guilty as charged.
Mary Watts is here.
Hello.
And Dorothy Beattie.
Yes, thank you for having us, Steve.
It's great to see everyone, and thank you for coming in. So, there's six candidates in all in the district elections coming up. Of course, John Sawyer, the incumbent, and Tom Schwedhelm, the incumbent, and Lee Pierce is running against John Sawyer. We're probably going to have them in next week. In the meantime, this is three people running for District 4. Is that the one Chris Corsi's vacating?
Technically, it's a new district. He lives in that area, but yeah. His seat is at large, so he would be, he's right. Sort of the, you know, the incumbent.
Yeah, okay. I'll start with Paul. Go ahead and do your thing, sir.
Well, this is, thank you for having me, and thank you for all our candidates for being here. So we are going to be focusing on District 4, which is one of the three districts that are in this particular race, although Tom Schwedhelm in District 6 has no competition. So really, it's two. So we've never had a race like this. But I just wanted to start off at given District 4, which is stretches from downtown through the Fountain Grove area, involves Montecito Heights, I just wanted to start with the impacts of the fire. I mean, that's obviously an issue. That district has been hit hard. I just wanted to ask each of you, as you introduce yourselves, talk about your response, how the city might have done what they did well, what they didn't do well, and what's particular about your district needs in the next 4 years that you'd like to address related to the fires. Should we start with you, Dorothy?
Sure. I think one of the things that I talk to people about is how they got out. And I talked to lots of people who did flee that night, especially around the Chenate property, Chenate Road. That was just a terrifying evening. It was terrifying. What people are just trying to do now is get back home. Now, a lot of people are leaving. We did lose a lot, especially up in the Fountain Grove area, which is unfortunate. But the rebuild process just isn't easy, and people weren't set up to become contractors, individual contractors. So they're getting some good help from some of the builders who have plans and can help them, but it's just a slow and tedious process, and having to make tons of design decisions when you thought you had a home and you don't anymore. So the city is doing everything they can to make the process of entitlement as easy as possible to get them back in as far as permits. But now it's just finding people to do the work, to get the supplies here, to get it within a budget. It's a terrifying prospect that so many people are trying to build a house all at once.
So what can we do at this point? I mean, as you said, the city is doing everything they can. I think they've done a good job, and the county is certainly trying.
The builders have done a good job, I think, in coming up with some of the old plans, and they're coming up with some sort of developable, paper-ready plans so they can get started. And that's great. Now it's just getting as much labor here as we can to do the work.
Mary Watts, to Paul Gullickson's question.
Yes, hi. Thank you very much for having me. So my name's Mary Watts. And a little bit about my background. I I'm currently the Deputy Director for Community Action Partnership. We're one of the largest social service nonprofits in the area. And we are actually doing a lot of work around the rebuild and recovery efforts in my day job. So I've been fortunate enough to be able to speak with community members on a daily basis who have lost their homes and talk to them about their needs and the struggles and barriers and also the uplifting stories as well during the fire. When the fire broke out, I was sitting on the Board of Public Utilities, so that oversees Santa Rosa Water, and we had infrastructure damage that was unknown at the beginning of the fire and sort of developed over the next few weeks and with the benzene contamination, and that stalled a lot of the permitting process for some of the homeowners up in Fountain Grove because they weren't sure if they were going to have access to clean, safe water when they were able to get back into their homes and access to water while they were building. So that was a big problem. And, you know, the city was working tirelessly, and I commend all of the staff, but it was very difficult to communicate with the population that were dislocated, and it was hard to let them know on a daily basis what the progress of that situation was. So I think as we move forward, we definitely need to look at learned lessons and opportunities around communications, maybe utilizing, you know, better technology. I know that the county is working on an alert system, and instead of an opt-out more that's generally you're a part of unless you opt out. But we need to look at some technology to help with that communication process. But, you know, it's true. We're having, you know, we have people from Fountain Grove who we were financially stable that are underinsured. And it put a lot of perspective, I think, for people that probably had not struggled in that capacity before. And then we also had people at Journey's End, who is some of the most challenging to find housing for to this day. A client of my nonprofit is in an RV from Journey's End, was able to secure an RV, but it's too old to park at most of the RV lots. So they're driving it around still to this day, a year after the fire.
And
so,
of course, Journey's End was a mobile home park.
Yes, in District 4.
Yeah.
And it's, so there are still people that are you know, living in cars and do not have a roof over the head a year after the fire. So we need to not only address the rebuild up in Fountain Grove, but also some of the vulnerable community members who are experiencing homelessness due to the fire.
Victoria Fleming.
Yes, thank Hello. You for having me. Hi. So let's see. On the early hours of October 9th, I got a number of phone calls that I missed. I'm not a landline person, and so I didn't get a wake up call until 4:30 in the morning, and I stepped outside and saw massive embers flying into my neighborhood. And but for the grace of God and a few people who took hoses in the Cobblestone and Montecito area, I would have lost my home. We were evacuated for 6 days, and we're not sure for at least the first four of them if we had a place to come back to. And in that wake, I can tell you, you know, that was, I can't even imagine what it would be like to have lost my home, but to live in that limbo and then come back and have a daughter who contracted pneumonia and became very sick for much of the year. She's, thankfully, she's healthy and a spitfire again, but it really took a toll on us. And one of the things that I like to keep in mind as a clinical social worker and somebody who specializes in trauma is that there's the first trauma of the initial disaster, and then there's the ongoing, you know, micro traumas of the challenges in rebuilding. And some people have not, I think it's easy to lose sight of what we hold so dear. During those early weeks and months, we saw what's so important about our community, that we have an incredible depth of care, compassion, and general social good. And that as we continue to rebuild and get further away from the initial disaster, that we don't allow a secondary disaster of lack of compassion or lack of generosity of spirit to invade our beautiful, wonderful town that we call Santa Rosa.
All right. Again, Victoria Fleming there, Mary Watts, and Dorothy Beattie, all running for City Council District 4. Herman G. Hernandez, you're
right
up, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Jackson. Two times in 1 week. It's an honor to be here. First of all, thank you so much for running for a very important seat in the city of Santa Rosa. I actually do not live in the city, but I'm involved in education. And one of the things that I'm incredibly passionate about is voter engagement and getting people who are historically underserved involved in civic engagement in local politics. So my question to you today is, what are your plans if you get elected on engaging people who are not accurately represented on commissions and city boards involved? And how do you plan on doing that?
Let's start with Victoria Fleming.
Well, this is a great question, because one of the things that happened when we went from district, from at-large positions to district, is that we're hopeful that, and we plan now to have one person from each of seven geographic areas within the city of Santa Rosa. But what didn't come along with that is any requirement or consideration for the board appointments or commission appointments that our city council makes. Our city council receives a small stipend, but the vast majority of the staff work that goes into supporting the city council members, separate from the city staff, is our boards and commissions. And so one of the things that I intend to do if elected is to try my very best, if not succeed, and I believe I will succeed, in placing all members to my boards and commissions from District 4. And while I'm not particularly worried about District 4 in general being underrepresented, since it has a higher percentage of representation than many other areas, especially in the southwest part of town, I do want to make sure that we set a precedent. And oftentimes precedent can become a cultural norm. And I hope that we work toward that, so that in a couple of years, when some of our areas west of the 101 are elected, that people are inclined to appoint commissioners and board members from the areas that they are elected. And that way we can have a broader voice and a set of input that reflect all of our diverse and interesting and varied perspectives.
Dorothy Beatty. Hey, you're a pro.
Yeah.
She turned her mic
off. I got
off
the on button.
Yeah, you got it. You do that better than I do. Yeah.
I'm going to test the cough button now.
Yeah.
Okay. It is really a great thing that we have the districts, because we can represent the district better. We know the district. And I've walked most all of it, and I couldn't have done that if this was a citywide election. So my shoes are wearing out, but I have visited just about all the neighborhoods in the district and walked through all of them and talked to lots of people. And the whole process of running for council is one of trying to get engagement. And it's not easy. It's not easy to get people really involved in our local government. And I am glad that it's district, because I can walk it and I can go door to door and ask people. I mean, what we need is sort of cheers where we can all meet regularly and just talk to each other. But as far as boards and commissions, I absolutely would want to make sure we have representation on those and find people from the district to be on those boards and commissions.
Mary Watts. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's fine. I'll hit the cough button.
Well, I think this is a great point, and it's something that I personally have, you know, witnessed myself. I'm 30, and I'm the youngest candidate in my race. And when I'm sitting on these boards and commissions, I'm usually the youngest one. Usually it's not a lot of females. And it's telling of our entire system, and we need to make sure that we're addressing this. And so I've had the experience of getting more people who are generally not in decision bodies, you know, into appointed office. I was president of the Young Democrats for 2 years, and we spent a significant time during those 2 years getting our membership, which ranges from 14 to 36, into elected or appointed positions. And during my tenure, we had over 75% of our voting members were either elected or appointed. And that just goes to show where I think that this is such an important issue. And, you know, I do want to get everyone from, you know, District 4 as members of my boards and commissions, but I also have the JC in that neighborhood. And I'd love to get some more students involved. Most of my volunteer base on my campaign are students and younger people and that are really getting involved in civic engagement. So it's really exciting to see that. And I hope that can trickle down to more decision bodies.
Pete Fabiano, your turn, sir.
Thank you very much. First of all, regardless of who's the victor, you're all to be commended and congratulated for doing this.
I agree. And I also must say that I'm so glad three women are running for this district. It makes me smile. See, look, I'm smiling.
Diversity is not a bad thing.
It's a great thing.
It's a
Go
great
ahead.
Thing.
Go ahead.
anyway, local government is one of those things that, having spent more than a few years in it myself in the past, you can actually sometimes see the results of what you've set out to accomplish as opposed to state or federal. That said, there's a couple of things. There's a lot of talk about budgets. What's happening as far as things like property tax revenue going down, pension costs, et cetera, et cetera. So I'd like to focus for a second on city finances. And first of all, ask each of you, if you could point out areas where you feel that funds have been allocated appropriately, in your opinion, and what you, if anything, would do differently to change budget priorities if you were elected.
Mary Watts.
I think that, you know, the budget is something that is definitely probably one of the biggest challenges moving forward in the next 4 years. It's, you know, we are entering this fiscal year in a large deficit, and my experience on the Board of Public Utilities, we spent hours and hours in the weeds of the budget, especially this last year, not raising the water cost for ratepayers, especially after our large costs after the fire. So I definitely have experience getting involved in the city budgeting process. I would say that, you know, the current budget priorities I feel are the right places to be. You know, we have downtown housing as a budget priority, homelessness. We have, you know, obviously the fire recovery and making sure that we get reimbursed from FEMA. So these are definitely where we do need to be spending our funds. But I do have concerns about us cutting other social services that are so needed, especially after a big fire. You know, we've seen statistically that after natural disasters, that a lot of people leave as a second wave because some of those social services have been cut that they relied on in their city or county. So we need to make sure that we're getting involved in that and looking through each line item by line item to determine where we can cut and thinking about the long-term strategy as well. And be creative with some of our funding. You know, we had the Bennett Valley Senior Center that was closed. That was just a little tiny bit of our budget, but we were able to cut those costs and maybe be able to reallocate that center and use some of the funds that, and maybe even as a revenue source. We'll see what happens. But I think we need to be creative and look at some other options.
Victoria Fleming.
Yes, so hopefully Measure O will pass and we will not have to make quite such drastic cuts as we already do. And we do have a structural deficit that has to do with state pension liabilities that people often ask, well, what are you going to do about that? And the truth is that's a bill that the state sends us and that we don't have much control here at the local level except to pay what we owe according to the state. So one of the things that I'd be looking at is making sure that we get the furthest amount of service for our budget dollar. I believe that budgets are an expression of our values. And if we value our parks and our infrastructure and our safety, then we need to make sure by doing things, for example, like when you hire someone in the parks department, a uniformed parks officer is often a deterrent, but a less expensive safety-like officer than other departments would provide for. Additionally, I want to be reasonable in goal setting and make sure that we have our fire, our police, and our planning and economic development, our, you know, housing and community services all at the table so that we set reasonable goals and we don't overtax our existing infrastructure and that we achieve what it is that we say we're going to do. That having been said, we're looking at getting a $12 million one-time grant from the state to work with the county on homelessness, and I'm uniquely positioned as a person who has, and probably the first and only person on Santa Rosa City Council to have direct clinical experience treating homeless people. And so I look forward to lending that expertise to our community and to modernizing our continuum of care and becoming more efficient, effective at getting our homeless population served and housed.
And last one on this question, radio pro Dorothy Beatty.
Radio pro.
She got her mic on. See, she's so good.
So this is where I get to put my plug in, though. So my background is in finance and accounting. I have an MBA from Columbia University, and I've been in business for quite a few years with lots of large organizations and been responsible for budgets. And it's never fun. Budgets are never fun. But the first thing you do is look at the organization and determine what your primary mission is and make sure you're supporting that mission. And for Santa Rosa, the primary mission is safety and infrastructure, police, fire, roads, infrastructure. We're not doing a good job at infrastructure at the moment, and our police department and our fire department would both really like to grow, and they are, especially police, are small relative to the population of the city. So, and as both candidates have mentioned, PERS is an issue, and there's no running from that. So my thought here is we need to grow. We simply need to grow as a city. If we grow as a city and we have more people here and more jobs here, we have more people to share this debt with. And the per capita taxes are going down instead of up. The only way out of this is to grow. And so I am all about housing, 100% about housing. We have got to get good, dense housing downtown and transit-oriented, and that's the only way in the long run we're going to get past this debt from the pensions. In the short term, there are a lot of good budget strategies. Once you know your goals and you're taking care of those primary goals and allocating money there, then it's a matter of sort of zero-based budgeting, we used to call it, where you take a look at each department, what its mission is. Is it using just enough resources, too many? Are we getting that number right, and are we close to our mission? And are there things in the budget that perhaps we shouldn't, as a city, be spending as much on? And social service comes up, but social service is a mission of the county budget. And we need help. We need help from the county. We need a regional, coordinated approach to some of these things, which are expensive to Santa Rosa, such as people who are homeless and trying to help as best we can. But the people who are homeless are primarily in Santa Rosa. Over 70% of that population is residing in Santa Rosa. We're 30% of the county's population. So that's a burden to the city of Santa Rosa that needs to be shared more equitably. So I would really love to see us reaching out and getting into any other resources we can in order to reduce that strain on our budget.
All right. It is Victoria Fleming, Mary Watts, Dorothy Beattie. They're all running District 4, Santa Rosa City Council. Paul Gullickson, Herman G. Hernandez, and Pete Fappiano are with us. We have to take our bottom of the hour break, and we'll come back with Mr. Gullickson again. But before we do that, right after the break, I just want to have all of you, which I normally kind of do at the beginning of these candidate forums, give us some of your background and why you're running, and let's keep it short. Keep it short so we can get more questions from everyone. But yeah, let everyone know who you are. We'll do that right after the break. 4:35 on The Drive.
Now, back to The Drive with Steve Jackson on FM News Talk Radio, KSRO.
Yeah, okay. It is your Thursday drive. Yet to come, my 35-year comedy partner, Blair Hardman from Zone Recording, coming in. We'll have some fun. Scott Covington is the winemaker at Trioni. He's back with us, along with Leslie Simmons. They're doing a Fall Colors Festival in Geyserville. Well, I'm from the East Coast, so I don't know. The Fall Colors in Sonoma County aren't like they were back then when I was a kid. But nonetheless, it's a cool event, and we'll talk to Scott and Leslie about that. The Drive, Thursday, Hop Monk Brouhaha. Today, it's very exciting. The brewmaster at Anchor Brewing in San Francisco is here. And, of course, Mark Carpenter, my co-host, has started in 1971 at Anchor in San Francisco. So lots yet to come. This is our first in 10 years, our first district election candidate forum. Paul Gullickson, Herman G. Hernandez, Pete Fappiano are here. We have three moderators and three candidates, Victoria Fleming, Mary Watts, and Dorothy Beattie. And let's start with you, Dorothy. Tell us, give us a quick, and there she goes. She turns her mic back on. This is great stuff. I've never seen we've never had a guest who did that. I'm very proud of you.
I feel like a pro now.
Yeah, you are.
It's good.
Give us a little of your background and tell us why you're running for city council.
Sure. I grew up in a town south of here called Los Gatos. My dad had a little drugstore.
Used to live there.
Did you used to
I
live
work
in Los
radio
Gatos?
In San Jose and lived in Los Gatos. I love that town.
The Corner Drug? Did you ever go there?
Yeah.
Corner Drugstore,
yeah, sure.
North Santa Cruz in Maine?
Yeah.
So it's a really great place. It's fabulous community. We knew everybody in town. It's just a great town. And, of course, I left, went to college, came back. And I ended up in Santa Rosa after the earthquake in 1989. I was in San Francisco.
Wow.
And I came up here, and it felt just like Los Gatos. It felt like a real community, a town, where you could know people, be involved in things. Mayberry RFD, great place to be. And over the years I've been here, almost 25, things have changed, and then some things haven't changed that should change. And I've been very busy with a career. A lot of banking and finance, as I mentioned before, but I got hired by Microsoft into the technology sector and went technology for a while, and then came back here, and in the last few years I've been working in the mortgage finance and housing finance sector, and I now I'm at a place in my life where I don't have to work. I'm lucky. And talk about civic engagement, I want to get involved in my town. I'm very passionate about this, and I think we're at a turning point in our town where we become a city. And that, once again, my mantra, I want to see our downtown be vibrant, really cool place to be.
I'm with you on that all the way. We've been talking about that for months and months.
Yeah. And I have a list of people now who want to duke it out for the top floor of the first 10-story building that goes in. And then we can all take our elevator down and get a good cup of coffee and hang out with people and have a good time.
I always joke I haven't left Bennett Valley in 10 years, but when this happens, if I'm still around, I'm moving downtown.
Okay, then
yeah, I want
I'm to adding
I'll
you
see
to
you
the
in the
list.
Elevator and we'll have a cup of coffee.
Right, and you're going on my list. We'll have to duke that out. But bottom line, that's my vision for Santa Rosa, and I really want to get busy on it, and I think I'm really well positioned in the knowledge that I have and the background that I have to help make that happen.
Mary Watts, the youngest of the candidates.
So I actually came to Santa Rosa with my husband.
The mic. Well, hold on a second. Her mic is not. You don't know. He's our.
Am I on now?
There you are.
Okay, great.
I don't know what's going on in here anymore.
Well, I actually moved to Santa Rosa with my husband when I was looking at master's programs and decided on Sonoma State because we actually fell in love with Santa Rosa and the idea of living here. We came from San Francisco and were priced out knowing I was going to go into the nonprofit or social services and realized I wasn't going to be able to raise a family there. So when we decided to figure out a place where we could have the quality of life that we wanted, Santa Rosa just suited us. And it was much more affordable at the time. My husband and I rent, and we would love to buy in our neighborhood, but it's not doable right now, even with two incomes. And I think that that's something that is a needed experience on the city council. We only have one other renter on the council, and I just felt that this is a time where we have an opportunity to decide what the future of Santa Rosa is, what our community looks like, and who should be a part of that community.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Los Angeles.
Okay.
I've been up in the Bay Area since 2006. And, San Francisco was where I did my undergrad, but fell in love with the community up here. It's really a place where people, care about each other, and you get the sense that you really feel a part of it here. And so I started working in the nonprofit sector after my master's in public administration, and I'm now the deputy director for a multi-million-dollar nonprofit, and work every day with the populations that are the most vulnerable who are being forced to move out of Santa Rosa. And this is a difficult thing to see. And I want to make sure that we're thinking about a vision for Santa Rosa where everyone can be a part of it.
Victoria Fleming.
Yes. So anyway, I'm a clinical social worker. I finished my master's degree in social work at UC Berkeley in 2006 with an emphasis in community mental health. And thereafter, I opened a homeless outreach and stabilization team where we got chronically homeless people housed. Then I met my husband, and I fell in love with him, and he's been at Medtronic 13 years, and I moved up here, and we started a family, and I worked at the Santa Rosa Community Health Center and North Bay Regional Center, and then at the Community Health Center, a lot of people would come to me needing psychological evaluations to prevent being deported or grant them asylum. So I opened a small practice where I've been successful in keeping a lot of Latino families united. After I had my daughter 4 years ago, that was a profound and important experience for me, and I felt compelled to make whatever difference I could in our community. And so I became a member of the Sonoma County Commission on the Status of Women and the Santa Rosa Community Advisory Board, and on the Commission for the Status of Women, on an all-woman board with many of them mothers, not a single person had a child under 18 living at home. And I see so many structural inequalities to getting families at the table. And then after the fire last year and this historic opportunity to rebuild our town, and I took a look at our city council and I saw that there was nobody raising a child, no families, you know, with small children. We have nobody on the city council between the ages of 31 and 57. No one. That's the vast majority of our workforce. Who's going to be there speaking out for the high cost of childcare, the high cost of getting to work for two parents that's required to buy a home and live here in Sonoma County? And so I feel blessed and grateful to have this opportunity to speak out and make sure that the Santa Rosa of our future is safe, affordable, and accessible for all of our families.
That's Victoria Fleming, Mary Watts, and Dorothy Beatty are with us here, all running for City Council District 4. Let's go back to Paul Gullickson. Paulie?
Steve, I just first want to make an observation. You know, this is going to be a hard decision for voters in District 4.
I think so, too.
I mean, all three candidates have collected some very impressive endorsements in this race.
I don't live in District 4, but I'd vote for all three of them.
I know. And you only get to vote for one, so this is going to be a tough one. I just want to back up to our discussion about finances. It sounds to me like all three of you support Measure O, which is a quarter-cent sales tax, to support city finances. Is that correct?
Yes, for me.
Yes, sort of. Yeah. Victoria, sort of.
I personally support Measure O, but generally speaking, I'm philosophically opposed to regressive taxes.
Regressive taxes, okay. Because it's a sales tax, it's a quarter cent sales tax. But I want to move on to something else on the ballot, which is Measure N, which is the bond measure. It's a $124 million bond measure to deal with housing in our community. We've talked about housing a little bit, and I'd like you to tell us where you stand on that, and I'd like you, and particularly in perspective as to what the future may hold with the Chenate property, which is part of your district or in that area. And the Chenate property obviously is the biggest property we've got around here in terms of housing. We're back to square one on it now. So where would you like to see that? So those, it's a two-part question, really, about Measure N and also about the future of the Chenate property. So.
And I hate to do this, but we're a little late, and I want to get more questions going. So if we could keep the answer is a little shorter.
Keep it to 30 seconds.
And make sure your mic's on. Dorothy knows what she's doing. Let's start with you.
Okay, I fully support the housing bond. And I think everybody needs to understand that the housing bond is our way of all of us chipping in as parents would when they help their kids buy their first house. It's just the seed money that allows us to get 8 or 9 times that amount of money. Right now, Santa Rosa is right at a tipping point where it's economic to build. Economic to build meaning rents are high enough to be able to pay a developer to build a property. The only way we're going to get developers over the hurdle and into building property is to be able to get both affordable units in there, but with the federal subsidies we would get through the low-income housing tax credit programs. And those programs are really complicated, but we have the ability to get that money if we get the money from the housing bond. So that 10-story building downtown is going to be market rate, but it's going to be 30% also low income. And we can do that kind of thing if we get the housing bond passed. That housing bond is crucial.
I agree.
I hope everybody says yes to it. As far as
Mary Watts, sorry, Anna.
So, yes, I support Measure N as well. In my work, I oversee 2 permanent supportive housing complexes. They're mostly Section 8. And we are constantly searching for grants. And it's still hard to break even. Even with the cost of just depreciation alone, we're usually in a deficit. And you cannot make it work unless you have a subsidy. So I think it's absolutely essential that we move forward with Measure N. And I hope that the voters will pass it and that we'll be able to get those 2,000 to 4,000 units built as fast as we can. When it comes to Chenate, you know, we are back to square one, and I think for a lot of what I'm talking to the community members, for me, I'd like to see an EIR, an environmental impact report done, and be able to actually see what the infrastructure can hold there. I want to see if housing is built that there's affordable component, at least 15%. I'd like it to go up to 25, which was some of the other developments that were in discussion. But I think that we need to see those reports and see an EIR before we can really say what the infrastructure can hold there.
And Victoria Fleming.
Yes, so when it comes to Measure N, I support Measure N. I am disappointed that there is a lack of labor provisions and basic PLA language, project labor agreement language. Full-throated proponents of Measure N think that it's maybe not all that important, but I would posit that if it's not all that important, then why didn't we just go forward and promote our middle class when we're working with our public dollars? But that having been said, I have voted for Measure N, and I would urge everybody to vote for it. It's the best opportunity we have to get housing built for our residents. But when it comes to Sinead, I've done a ton of listening, and it's literally in my backyard. I was one of the last people to give birth at that site in 2014.
My son was born there.
Yeah. I remember them saying you should have waited till October because you could have her at the new hospital. But I'm glad I had her there, and that place is dear to my heart. And when I thought a lot about it, and in terms of a government-subsidized housing project on that land, the cost in terms of the seismic and fire risk might not be worth the investment in terms of our government dollars. When we're looking to build using your hard-earned tax dollars, I want to make sure that we get transit-oriented, that we get good value, and that we're not building somewhere that's going to be destroyed sooner than later.
All right. I'm sorry about the time situation. We're slaves to the clock in radio. Herman G. Hernandez.
All right, then I'll keep mine short and simple. We were talking about structural inequalities, which Victoria mentioned, and talking diversity. It's no secret that the Latino community is one of the quickest and fastest growing demographics of Sonoma County and the city. My question is on cultural competence and creating, increasing the diversity of leadership within the city staff and leadership roles. What can the city council do to increase pathways for people of color, Latinos, women, to move up the ranks at the city through the city staff?
Oh, I'm sorry. See, I'm not as good as Dorothy. I had my mic off. Let's start with Victoria.
So one of the reasons that I am running for Santa Rosa City Council is because of the structural inequality and the fact that affordable childcare is a major barrier to getting families participating. One of the ways that people get to the table and become electeds or become city staff is by attending meetings. I would like to see us work toward having childcare available at our public meetings. I'd like to work towards having a concerted effort toward hiring and retaining people of color and women and people who represent our town. That's something that I would take a leadership position on, and I've been really strong on. My husband, as a hiring manager at Medtronic, knows that if he comes home with another 40-year-old Caucasian engineer that he's going to hear from me. And and that's because there are so many people who are already mentored in that demographic. And, you know, we need people who represent all of our perspectives. And I'll stop there because I know you have time constraints.
Sorry, I hate that.
I can see that look.
Dorothy Beatty.
Well, you know, mentoring, you mentioned that word. That's key. And I did a mentoring program when I was at North American Mortgage. It was an outreach to at-risk teens. And it was really phenomenal when a person could see a path and see a way and be educated and learn about what the possibilities were, that they would become engaged and move forward in a way that was possibly way different than the path that they were on. I think community engagement is at the root of this, because we need to be engaged ourselves with all the populations that we would like to see engaged in our own city. So us being out in community, getting people fired up about wanting to be involved, and then making sure they do get involved, I think that's our responsibility. All the way around, across all types of communities.
I'm talking more about city staff moving up in the city, like as a job. Sorry.
We're out of time, dude.
Okay.
Mary Watts.
You know, I actually did a paid internship through the City of Santa Rosa Water Department when I was getting my master's, and they had some great opportunities for people who worked internally to mentor other staff members that were above them. But it starts off even below that. I mean, we have to offer more paid internship opportunities to the JC students, to Sonoma State, to, you know, people of color, because you can't expect people who are disenfranchised and who are low income, who don't normally have these opportunities, to work for free anymore. We have to be able to pay them in order to get them into these opportunities. You know, and I think that the City of Santa Rosa has, you know, what the City Council can do is we set the policy, we set the movement. So we can't just rely on the Human Resources Department to come up with these policies. We have to make a statement at the council level to say this is a priority for us. We want to see diversity among the staff in order to increase community engagement and diversity among our residents.
We need 2 hours for this situation. Absolutely. I'm sorry, guys. I think we may have overbooked our questioners. All right, Pete Fapiano, one last question, and you keep it short, and we'll try and keep it short so we can hit the top of the hour, and if not, well, then, I don't know, I think they'll fire Mike and I. Go ahead.
We'll give it a shot. Historically, various governmental or public agencies in Sonoma County have not always worked cooperatively together. Do you see any areas where the Santa Rosa City Council could work cooperatively with Sonoma County or the school districts on various projects, and if so, what projects?
Let's start with Victoria.
So the Santa Rosa City Council, in conjunction with Petaluma and the Board of Supervisors, is just recently initiated an ad hoc to deal with the revitalization of the continuum of care, specifically addressing issues around homelessness. And so this is a great opportunity for us to work with the board. They'll have two members appointed, as well as two from Santa Rosa and one from Petaluma, and four service providers and at-large members. One of the things that I have a lot of experience doing is bringing people together who don't always agree. You know, whether it's co-parent counseling or people who are going through a divorce or really difficult high tension situations, I know that what we have to do is we have to spend the time listening to people before we turn to them and try to change their minds.
Mary Watts.
I think the Santa Rosa City has done a good job at strengthening the relationship with the County Board of Supervisors. What I think that we need to improve on is actually our relationship with both the Santa Rosa City schools and other school district boards, as well as the Santa Rosa Junior College. One thing I'd love to see is student housing on the JC in our neighborhood, and that is a specific project I think that the JC board as well as the City Council can work together to accomplish in the next, hopefully, 4 years. As far as the school districts, you know, they don't have joint meetings, no liaisons back and forth. And some of the, you know, the biggest issues that are facing, you know, city government services start at the early level, even ages 0 to 5 for some of these people. So I'd love to strengthen our relationship with the school districts to really talk about prevention.
And Dorothy Beatty.
Well, it's sad to say that it took a fire to get our city and our county to really come together. But it really did get them to come together, and that is fabulous. The working together on the homeless strategy is really great because it's a regional issue, and that group has already made real strides in bringing city and county together to help solve a regional issue. And that's great. And the next place that we all need to go is to work together for housing, to get as much housing as we can get in our county as fast as we can. So, working together on those two topics, key.
Victoria Fleming, Mary Watts, Dorothy Beatty, all running for District 4, Santa Rosa City Council. And as I said earlier, if I lived in District 4, this would be a tough choice. You're all very impressive. Thank you so much for coming in. Sorry about the time thing. And, of course, the great Paul Gullickson now with SSU and Herman G. Hernandez and Pete Fapiano.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys.
All right, coming up, my for 35 years we've been comedy partners. Blair Hardman's in, and then Scott Covington, the winemaker from Trioni, and Drive Brouhaha. We'll be back on